Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Celtic Now and for podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. This is the Reaction Podcast, and obviously the now ex-Celtic manager, Neil Lennon, has left his post at Celtic. I'm joined by John Clifford and Robert Boyle. John, how's things, mate?
Good, Ryan. Good to see you.
And yourself, Robert, how's things, mate?
Thanks.
Well, obviously, lads, we all know why we're here tonight. The Reaction Podcast, Neil Lennon has resigned as manager. We were all expecting it maybe at the end of the season. Again, it's maybe about time, maybe 4 months ago it should have happened, but it's happened and we just need to kind of deal with it now, and hopefully the next few weeks we can build on, obviously, getting better results and hopefully get it. The woodwork, the new managers came in. Obviously, John, your thoughts on obviously the announcement this morning?
Right decision by Neil to go. All accounts, he should have left a while ago. People talk about his reputation being tarnished, not at all. Celtic legend, managed the team twice. Fair bit of success between his two spells, his playing career. But absolutely the right decision to go. Whether it was pushed or he fell, don't know.
And obviously, Robert, we've spoken about him a lot recently. We've spoke about it was probably going to happen. We didn't really expect it yesterday or this morning. But what's your kind of thoughts about the announcement and obviously the timing?
So, I really did think it was inedible. I didn't think he would have seen by it, to be honest with you. There's no manager really in Celtic's history will get beat twice in one season, knocked out a cup of Ross County and then beat in the league when they're rock bottom of the league and survive it. To be honest with you, I think it was only a matter of time, but I think the Celtic board didn't want to give in to the fans with the protests and stuff like that. They wanted it in their own accord, but really doing that, they've left it too late in my opinion, but obviously I'm hoping that's a step in the right direction, but I don't feel he was only one to blame for it. I feel John Kennedy and Gavin Stratton should have went also. But whether that is down to a new manager coming in this summer that's agreed that we don't know about and they need somebody to take us to the end of the season, we'll just need to wait and see on that one.
Because obviously, John, we kind of spoke that when we won the treble, that why was he actually announced as manager? It was a bit of deflation and it's kind of carried out to this season. And the be all and end all was most of the fans were very aggrieved that he got the job in the first place, but we kind of went, right, we'll give him the chance. Can't really argue with last season, we've done well, done all right in Europe, won what we had to win. But then you could see for the summer, the early signs were no what you would maybe expect for the way we were getting to the 10 in a row season.
But if you think about it, it's the same every season. You don't get your signings done early. Come to Champions League qualifiers, you're struggling. Players you sign aren't fit, or they're not even selected. It's happened last year, didn't it? Who was it, Julian and
Beaton?
Bolingoli.
Bolingoli.
Correct, aye. The two of them didn't play in a qualifier, which was very strange. But shame, we never did. We're dealing early. Well, the work starts now, doesn't it? And try and start the work now, preparing for next season.
Because as you say there, that every summer we've always got a pairing, a centre half. So it's not really the pairing we always have and we should have going into the season. Our dealings are always very slow, and it takes us 2-3 months to get a deal done. It was the same the summer a little bit, wasn't it? Ayeti was, we'll talk about obviously the start off the summer, the free fall of the season, the signings, Foster didn't happen. Obviously Ayeti, we're talking about getting Tony. Ayeti was Arco Combatis, and then I've taken away that, but Arco come now. It was just, and then obviously Tumble signed another. It didn't really start. Obviously, if you look at the hindsight, you thought, right, I've got him in, spent a bit of money, let's just kick on, bring in Shane Duffy. But when you look back now, Robert, it wasn't very good. When you look in hindsight now, it wasn't the best of windows, considering that some of the guys hadn't played football in a long time.
I'll go through what happened with the signings. I think they thought Foster was a certainty. It didn't happen. They scrapped their hand, got Barkass in. They obviously had a good pedigree, had a good clean sheet record. Aye, we thought good signing. We thought Shane Duffy was going to be a good signing, a no-nonsense centre-half. Again, but he wasn't getting a game with Brighton, so these things normally are a telling factor. All right, it's the Premier League, but if you're not getting a game with Brighton, then I'm not good enough for Brighton, I'm not good enough for Celtic, are they? Evan Hussey brought him in again, had spells, looked he was good. This season's probably similar, looked like he was good, but telling factor for me was they got rid of Scott Sinclair, they get rid of Sved out in Moan, and they bring one guy in. Mikey Johnson was out for the foreseeable, we already knew that. So we realistically, we started the season with two wingers. We get one of them injured, Forrest, quite early. And then everyone else, he's played every position in the park, hasn't he? He's never played left wing at a run of games, but he's still one of the top goal scorers. And when Forrest got injured, we had no natural wid. We had nobody within the wings, which was baffling. Obviously, we didn't sign a winger. Again, we gambled in the Champions League qualifiers. We beat on at centre-half for the third season running. I think with Dominic Mackay coming in, Lennon leaving, hopefully the other two are leaving at the end of the season, there's a structure in place, as your dad said, and it's done now. Everything's getting done behind the scenes now, because if we wait till the summer and we dabble a good, then the guy comes in, then he might have missed it, the two players that he's identified right away, it could just be another season of mishaps. We don't want to make the same mistakes that we've made this season.
Obviously, John, talking about, as Robert says, about Shane Duffy, we were kind of buzzing. He was coming in, Captain Ireland, experienced. Ayeti played with Basel, scored some goals in Europe for Basel, done decent well in Usy at Basel. Barkas, you're talking about the goalkeeper, playing Champions League, played for Greece, a lot of caps, plenty of experience. Tumble, we all know about him. Laxalt, AC Milan, you're thinking, pedigree-wise and own form, they look decent players, and they're coming from big clubs, but then as Robert mentioned, you look into it. Laxalt wasn't playing with Milan, Duffy wasn't playing with Brighton, Ayeti didn't get a ball for West Ham, Tumble's come back for a big injury, but to be fair, Tumble's been a bit of success. So you're thinking, really, was it a good transfer window? Now you're saying no, but it was really just, it was a car crash situation where you're getting that, but you were getting the signings really after you were basically out of Europe. And again, we're slow dealing with transfers, John.
The surprising thing is, you didn't lose any players in the summer. You thought you might have lost a couple of big hitters, mainly Edward. As I've said to you, I think seeing future, strike while the iron's hot. See if you've got somebody that's worth 40 million, sell them. Just sell them and buy somebody else. And it's a conveyor belt of talent, isn't there? You just go and get somebody else. That's what you do. Telling you, you'll not get much for Edward now. You'll still get decent money, but you'll not get what you would have got last summer.
I think we've spoke about another one with it. Last year, Eduardo would be talking 40 million. Now might get 20, maybe 15, maybe try and get a selling clause off it, because we don't know if PSG or the rumours through that if they've got a selling clause. So if that's the case, we need to try and get as much as we can from.
I don't think we'd ever get 40 million for Edward, I'll be honest straight away. I don't think. I think you're maybe talking in the 26, 27, 28 bracket. I still think you'll get 20 million quite easily for him because he is young, he's a goal scorer, he's everything he is. I mean, he's talented, there's no doubt about it. And with the right team, he'll flourish. Because I do think you know, people will look by having. Really, no the worst of seasons, but no the best of seasons, especially the boy having COVID and stuff like that. I mean, there's no really many big hitters in Europe now that's setting ahead of the light, is there? Lewandowski at Bayern, there's like very few and far between. Messi scored a couple and Ronaldo scored a couple, but nothing like their usual standards. So, as you see, if you look at the people at the top of the leagues in Europe, it's a strange, weird season. Mm-hmm. It was strange this year because of what's happened. So I think you've got to look by 6 months. And I do think you'll get still 20 to 25 more than that. Well, I hope so anyway. I don't think Celtic would accept any less, to be quite honest with you. But what your dad was saying is replacing. We need to get rid of these prospects at 18. Always got to be good in 3 years. We need to buy players that are 24, 25, 26. That have done it, are ready to come in and improve us as a team. Buying these guys like Kamara and Ayeti, no, I wouldn't say Ayeti because obviously Ayeti's not really a prospect, but Kamara's and Bios and all that at 2 and 3 million and maybe Sveds and try to turn them into a £20 million player. That happens one of the 10. We need to buy players ready to come in and improve us and make us better. Oil the park.
No, I totally agree, mate. Totally agree. When it comes to that, we've paid about £8 million for Ayeti and Kamara. I know maybe the guy Tony, you don't know if he would come to Scotland score goals, but the Championship, as we know, is a hard league. I know maybe Pookie's doing well there and he's scoring goals, but that was a few years ago Pookie was at us, so the guy's got a lot of assists. They're talking £30-40 million to Arsenal for him now. Again, in hindsight, I'd maybe have signed him, but I was a big advocate of saying no because he. £10 million for whatever it is they were quoting for a League One striker didn't really make sense at the time, but now you're thinking maybe it did. But again, you kind of live on obviously the past, maybe on hindsight.
You know how much they got him for?
Was it no 6 or something, same as Ayeti?
Yeah, I don't.
So,
but, yeah.
When you if that was, if you think that now, then I would have signed him. But I do agree with you that. We need to do things quicker, and then there is Kamara's and Bios, Shevd, sign guys for the new. Obviously, that's what we spoke about as well. But is that's what your scout system's made for, to pick these wee gems here and there. But you get guys in for the new, and you might sign a wee gem 2-3 years times in the first team. And I think this year coming up, I think we just need to buy guys that are for the new, and it's going to improve as the new.
100%, man. Can I agree, man?
See for every Bio, Kamala, Pookie, Bangura, whatever it costs, between 2 and 4 million. See for every 4 or 5 of them, if you add that money up, spend the money, you'd get an outstanding striker for that. A top striker. He might not be top range, but you'll have the wages as well. And the transfer fee to pay for that, and that would progress the team. If you've got a quality striker, ready-made, as you say, no prospects, ready-made, proven track record, it would get you forward into where you want to be as a Champions League, you know?
Well, obviously, the Ferencvaros, the Champions League exit, again, We signed players, Danny Quarum. It was poor. It was very. I know we were in the game. We were on top in the game, but we didn't really create a lot. Missed a few chances, and then we get the sucker punch to make it 2-1. But then, obviously, Robert, that was for me. That was a game where after these comments, it should have went, because for me right away, that for me, if I was a player, I'd have totally lost living for him. You can't, you know, these days that football's changing, you should be able to allow to come out and slaughter guys, but these days you can't because players are just different animals now.
You're right, Ryan. It's he did, he flung the players under the bus after Ferenc Varos, and I don't think the players reacted the way he expected them to react to it. I think he expected them to come out and prove a point and say to him, oh, I'm here and I'll prove to you that I'm no what at least Celtic, because that's what he says. There's a few of them what at least I'm making a lot of noise about it. I think he expected a different reaction, whereas I think a lot of lost respect for him after that, definitely. But I mean, if you didn't want to attack him after that, you could have waited to get beat at home with Rangers without a shot on target. I mean, that's a sackable offence right away. Or you could have waited to Sparta Prague game, home or away, sacked him then. But I don't know what the thought process was behind. When you have some of these horror results, like some of the right horror results we've had in the last decade, there's alarm bells ringing that tells you he's not going to recover for this. You know what I mean? It's like a heavyweight boxer. He can take a few punches, so many, but he's dazed after a while. He's not going to recover for it. And that's just the way Neil Wynn and Celtic have been, to be quite honest, the way the season's been. They've been dazed to issues of COVID, no gelling as a team, no playing as a team, and if players want to leave. And the warning signs was there for a while. It's individuals, I would say, well, no, as a team, is back to when we were under Rodgers and stuff. That's my thoughts on it.
Would you agree with that as well, John, that when it comes to, obviously, Neil Lennon, obviously the players have got to take responsibility, but if you're playing under a manager that's going to come out and lambash in the public, then it doesn't look good in-house.
Nah, they weren't united, weren't they, no? It was a split. The chain was broke, and there was only one thing that was going to happen after that, and it wasn't a good prospect, was it? It was only going to be downhill. So, or Lennon would have had to have left, and it didn't happen. So, as we've said on here before, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I still think there's plenty of time yet this season for it to get worse, even though he's away. The mood's no good there, is it? There's very little optimism, there's no joy. Everything's doom and gloom, no happiness. You need something to put a spark back into the place. Hopefully, the next few days, get a bit of good news and we can start planning for next season anew.
There's obviously, as well, after Ferenc Varos, we played Riga and Sarajevo, and we were watching the game, John, and it was very, very poor. Nate, and obviously, you don't want to disrespect professionals and football teams, but They're no very good teams. Teams we should be beating 3-4-0 comfortably. I know Celtic away from home sometimes, but recently they've been all right. But normally away from home with Celtic, you're just maybe just try to get a draw and maybe just win a game 1-0. But these teams, one of the teams that should be in the same park as Celtic, and we were struggling. We were struggling to beat these teams. It was last minute goals we kind of won the ties with. So that wasn't again, John. That wasn't a good start to the European campaign. Obviously, you qualify for Europa League, but it wasn't a good start considering you wanted the Champions League money.
Champions League money is imperative for Celtic. It's a business. To go to that and then go to Europa League, out the League Cup, the Scottish Cup might not be happening. They're not winning the league. So financially, it's been an absolute nightmare for Celtic. Probably the worst. Take away the COVID thing, it's probably the worst year financially for a long time due to getting out of tournaments early. Because Celtic need that revenue. There's very little TV money.
Because obviously, Robert, we obviously spoke about as well that obviously we want to compete in Europe, but you maybe, as you said the other day, that you maybe take a few defeats just to get the money and actually keep the club going, and so we can keep getting these players to try and get us there. Hopefully, every year, obviously, we know it's a bonus getting to the group stages, but it's something that maybe in the future that we'll need to do often, because obviously due to the pandemic, money's going to be tight in some situations, so we might need to sell players, so we might need to qualify, and by doing that, we need to recruit better.
100%, Ryan, we need... You pay what you get from the manager. A manager who knows what you're doing, knows what you're doing. As you say, Riga and Sarajevo, the warning signs were there, there, weren't they? Any great teams. I get going away to these wee countries and crap pitches. Sometimes it can be difficult. But how many times have we watched Celtic this season and went, the ball in a gasket? 55 minutes, 60 minutes. Three subs, another two subs later on. We made the most subs in the league the full year. To me, the standard of Celtic has dropped dramatically if Rodgers left. I'd say 30-35%. I mean, just the professionalism of the players, the fitness of the players, the attitude of the players. I mean, you say you spend 2.5 million or 3 million in Rodgers, whatever it was. You could argue all day what they paid. But what you got with him was a professionalism. You qualified for the Champions League. You weren't great in Europe. We know that. We weren't great. We were probably... Rodgers' only downfall was he tried to go toe-to-toe with the big guns, which didn't really work with our players. But in that sense, he made us good enough in Scotland to then try and compete in Europe. And if the board probably backed him, we don't know what we could have been sitting here with to this day. We could have had 10 in a row. We could have... Maybe I've been in the Champions League again. We don't know. All ifs and buts. But I watched the guy's interview the day, and he made a West hit the nail on the head and says, I didn't make the signings. They brought in Malumba to Kilmarnock, Marvin Sved, and somebody else. His targets was McGinn, Patric, the Italian boy, and somebody else. He identified three main targets, and the Celtic board went out and got him 10 levels down for every target he wanted. And I think that was a nail on the head. When they didn't back him then, I think it was the only reason he left. I don't think he wanted to leave Celtic. I think he might have left at the end of the season and got to the Premier League if he got an offer. But I don't think he was just... I think that was the end of it with Peter Lawwell. I think that he's now more or less come out and tell you that today. I've obviously interviewed him, he's told you. We need a director of football. We need somebody that communicates with the manager. He says at the end of the day, the manager's the most important person because everything goes on the manager's head. He may always maybe says to you, Neil Lennon didn't sign the players that have been signed at Celtic and now he's took the can for it. We don't know.
I do agree with you when it comes to that, Robert. I watched his Rodgers Boards interview today and agree with what he says. He didn't say it in plain sight, but he did basically get a dig at the board saying that Celtic needs somebody to deal with the football side. And that's it, because it's even though people say Rodgers did get back, he get backed a wee bit when he signed maybe players like Sinclair and maybe guys like Ninchan. But again, was Ninchan his signing? Because Lawwell's got contacts from Man City, so was that his signing? We don't know.
He sold on. He bought Dembele for $500,000, sold him for $20 million, sold Kieran Tierney for $25-26 million. He brought the Celtic turnover when Brendan Rodgers was in charge was $100 million turnover, which is the biggest in Celtic's history. This is the things you get with an elite manager. You get these things. You're not going to get that with downgrade Neil Lennon. No disrespect to Neil Lennon, but I remember after the Scottish Cup game came out the ground and they said, oh, they've announced him as manager. We just won a treble and I felt deflated. So what does that tell you? If they want... This next appointment is as big as Brendan Rodgers, big as Martin O'Neill, as big as they two. It's that type of manager that we ignite the fans and get everybody back on board, because it's just an absolute shambles for the fans arguing and fighting to the board, no knowing what their next move is. To me, it needs restructured, and hope that guy's on it, guy's working 24/7, because he'll need to restructure this club and get it back to where should be.
So obviously, John, we were saying as well that when you pay a good money for a good manager, eventually might the outlay for a few weeks or a few months might be a lot, but if you get an elite manager, as Robert says, eventually you will get that money back. If it is through advertisement, if it is through players, if it is through qualifying for Europe, you will eventually get the product on the park.
Definitely. I've said here before, Rodgers is a top drawn manager. I just love listening to him. Even today, listening to him, he's intriguing to listen to. He just seems very honest when he speaks as well. I want somebody like that again to try and progress the team. As Robert said, we're not a Champions League team. We're a Europa League team, but you want to strive to get to that next level. And Louis Dame at Leicester, absolutely phenomenal. I know Leicester won the league 5 years ago or whatever. But he's going up the ladder again, I'm telling you. Definitely.
He's definitely just going to... I've always said, I think, obviously we've spoken about it as well, that I think he will go abroad, if it is Real Madrid, if it is Valencia, I think he will go abroad. I think that suits his style of management. I think people were calling him all the name on the sun, listen, I was, we all were. But now when you actually look back at the job he done and just listen to him talk about football and his coaching philosophy, you know he's a top manager and we were very lucky to get him. And as you say, Robert, the guys he signed, the guys he sell on, he's just always going to go, for me, he's going to go further than, obviously, Celtic, right? He's going to go further than Leicester. And obviously, another stumbling block, John, in the season was a defeat to Rangers. We were a wee bit like...
What one?
The first one, Celtic Park, when Shane Duffy had a mare. Again, I know we missed one or two chances, but with Kamara up front, when we had Ayeti on the bench, the lineup again was questionable. I think, again, that was another warning sign, as we've spoken about with Robert. The warning signs were just gathering pace every week and every day.
Elanusi missed a one and one, didn't he? Nothing each. Top player will put that away. That's why the top players get their money. They might only get one chance in a game and they'll take it. That's why they get the big bucks. It's regarding what a manager like Rogers, chief, he stopped signing these squad players at 2, 3, 4 million. That pays for that elite manager as well, not just players. That can pay for it. The money you've spent on bio, for example, that could pay for an elite manager.
It's very... Some of the money we've spent on players is ridiculous. And as you say, Robert, the guys like Shevd, who basically Rogers says in his interview, I've never seen him before. So that just tells you, I think, a lot that you kind of need to know, and I think a lot that the fans already know.
It was... the board were just obviously... Peter Lawwell just took over the signings because obviously he thought, nah, we don't need this to win the league, we don't need that. But it wasn't just that Rogers was planning ahead for the future. He wasn't just planning to get to the end of the season, what Peter Lawwell was expecting. Mm-hmm. He was Lustig's going to retire, I'll bring the Italian boy, I can't remember how to pronounce the boy's name. That's my replacement for him. Brown's ready to retire, McGinn's my replacement for him. And then the boy Justin James he was looking at, it was at Luton at the time. I'll have him as replaced with Kieran Tierney. He had plans in place to replace players before they were even done. And Rodgers didn't back it. The ones he had, Castagna, right? This is it baffles me. He had Castagna or the Italian boy, right? He had McGinn and he had Justin James. He could have got the three of them for 11 million. Might be a lot of outlay at Celtic. How much are they three guys worth now? 60 million? 70 million?
A lot of money.
Back it, you're looking at these three guys that are in now, and that's the difference. Rodgers would have attracted them now if they came to Celtic because he has effect. And that's what an elite manager does. They can attract good players because they want to work under these guys because they've got such a good reputation. And I think Rodgers probably had all these players lined up and the Celtic board pulled the plug on them and signed these players. And I think that was a lot of the problem. I think Rodgers spent a lot of... I heard he spent a lot of time with John McGinn to sign him, and John McGinn was ready to do it. And the Celtic board were in the back. And I don't see the guy... I see where the guys came from. He went, I'm an F, getting fucking... hung it to die with Peter Lawwell and signing Malumba instead of John McGinn. Come on, it's terrible. You know what I mean? And I see where he's... I knew all along everybody was calling him a rat and everything else. A lot of people understand now why he left and what happened, because he wanted to try and take Celtic to consistently in a Champions League, consistently maybe the last 16 in the Europa League, try and build on it. the board didn't back him. So I'm hoping Dominic Mackay, in that sense, is willing to back the manager, whoever he may bring in, whoever he sees as the elite manager. But the appointment needs to be spot on. And they've got to be allowed their own coaching staff. They've got to be allowed to do things their way. If it needs to be a director of football, so be it.
Robert, do you hear the rumour regarding John McGinn that he was supposed to be in Parkhead in the boardroom? The deal's done. The only thing he's he did is signing the paper. So he's in with Rodgers, Lawwell, his agent, and Lawwell phones up the Hibs guy. What's his name again?
Rod Petrie.
Phones him up to say, blah, 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 we're about to do the deal. And I think Lawwell's supposed to have try to shave $100,000 off it, or $75,000 off a transfer fee. And Petrie's just went, look, fuck off. Deal's fucking done. Hung the phone down. That was it. That was a rumour. But it wouldn't surprise me the way Celtic did their business.
I heard that Roger spent a lot of time weighing again and tried to, like, Meras had the deal done. I did hear that. That was, I know that story, but similar, John.
Aye.
There's obviously, John, we were talking about as well that another alarm sign would have been he wanted Tommy Johnson as head of recruitment. The Celtic board said no, but that's the manager's wanting his guy in. The board said no. They gave him Gavin Stratton. We all know why, because Gavin Stratton is Gordon Stratton's boy. And again, no picking your own staff, maybe no getting the signings you want. That's going to be a absolute car crash leading on to the season, because if you're not getting the guys you want, how are you going to get the guys that you want maybe leaning forward to try and say you're maybe 5 points behind the lead in the league? How are you meant to get the guys you want if the board aren't going to back you?
There's a lot of reasons why it's went wrong. Aye, we should have had more points than what we've done. But don't forget, see the team for the other side of the city? They've had an incredible season. Aye, you could say they've been lucky, blah, blah, blah. They've had some defensive record. I think only 2 goals conceded at Ibrox in so many games. Undefeated. I'm scared they'll go fucking undefeated in the league. I think we're the only team that can beat them.
There's a certain factor behind that, John.
I know. I know what you're saying.
A lot of things that have been going on. I've watched a few just like clips and stuff of that game, and honestly, man, if some of that happened in the street, man, it'd be known as assault. Some of the things I've got away with. It's just certain wee things in certain games, John, have helped them win. I'm not saying well, they don't deserve to win the league by far, nothing like that. But when they're not playing well, up at Aberdeen and the boy clips, well, brushes by Morelos and gets sent off in a penalty. Things like that change games. And if they go the full season unbeaten without conceding a penalty and getting a guy sent off in 90 minutes, that'll be a world record. That's never happened to the Galacticos or Real Madrid. So how the fuck is it happening to a fucking team to govern? You know what I mean? I don't think we would have been allowed to fucking win the league, man, the way the referees have performed. I'm not sounding paranoid, but too many things this season. I'm just thinking, not many penalties have they had this season? Honestly, they've had about 20. Must be about 20 penalties.
There's been games they've had 2-3 in a game.
I know. They had 2 in Europe, didn't they?
The start is, if they're drawing with a team, they either get a penalty or other team get a man sent off anytime they're struggling. And I would like to know the statistics of that. All the games they've played, and it must be really high. It must be Ryan's a pure fucking conspiracy theorist, didn't you, Ryan?
See, there was a game, I think they were playing somebody, I can't remember who it was, and Beaton, tackle Beaton done at Ibrox, it was the exact same, and Beaton got sent off, and they got a booting. Aye. They get a booting, but Beaton get sent off, and it's the same position. Again, listen, I know what you're saying, John. Obviously, Listen, I can't doubt that they've been the best team all season. Can't doubt that, but it's just frustrating that we've no gave them a challenge, because obviously, and as well, we're talking about challenging. We didn't even challenge in the Europa League. Very, very poor. Nash. The AC Milan game, you can maybe say, right, okay, AC Milan, I think they're starting to get back to a pretty decent team now. They're doing well in Italian League. They've got good players. Even though we were only very good, you can maybe cancel the home game because we were very poor. Milan were decent. The away game, we were 2-0 up. At any level of football, at least if you're 2-0 up, you try and get a draw. We fell apart. Again, would we fell apart 2 years ago? I don't know. But then obviously Lille, two good performances against Lille, but I think, Robert, the big one, I think, for me was, again, which should have been the biggest warning sign, was Sparta Prague.
Ryan, see, like, you're talking about just in Europe and that, and we're talking about Scott Brown coming to end his career. I felt there was no balance, no shape in Europe throughout the full season. Your wing-backs were so high, your two defensive midfielders were probably 20 yards further forward than they should have been. So you're left with kind of two centre-halves, kind of a... And it, you know, these teams in Europe are really good at breaking with pace. In Europe, you maybe get away with that in Scotland, right? Having the two centre-halves kind of exposed because you're so high-pressing and you're kind of smothering teams in Scotland. But in Europe, you know, these teams break at pace, and this is a problem. The way we were shaped in Europe, the way we're always shaped in Europe, we're either too gung-ho or with no shape, of no structure in place. Like, if your two wing-backs are going forward, surely your two defensive midfielders sit 20 yards further back. Your two centre-halves separate a wee bit. Maybe Scott Brown goes between them. It becomes a three with Callum McGregor just sitting in front. So you've got a structure there when somebody breaks. We had Scott Brown earlier at the edge of the centre circle, in front of the centre circle, in the other guy's half. You had Callum McGregor 15 yards further forward. You had Greg Taylor, if it was, at left back, away up the park. At the other side, you had Frimpong away up the park. When these teams are breaking at pace, Scott Brown's not got the pace to get back. Callum McGregor's no blessed with pace. Your two centre halves are then exposed against maybe a striker and two quick winners. That's where the downfall was. We didn't have a structure. We weren't built as a unit. We didn't attack as a unit and defend as a unit. It was kind of all over the place. I felt like a lot of individuals tried to do things all apart, and it just collided into an absolute kind of disaster, to be quite honest. Yeah, Sparta Prague exposed us for how bad we were in Europe, and I wouldn't even say they were a great team, but when you go to us at pace on the counter, it showed you how frail we were. We just didn't have the legs to get back. We didn't set up right, and we need a guy who I think is quite clever for in Europe to set up that way. You need a back four that knows when to come out, defend, attack. We need to have that balance to catch players offside, to then have maybe one wing back on, but the other one covering. We need to have that structure that I just don't think we've had for a few years now. I think it's a bit disjointed. That's what I'm looking for. Oil apart in Europe.
That's funny, Robert, because I was saying to Ryan this afternoon, every year of Europe, Celtic always get hit with a sucker punch on the break against teams that you maybe should be beating. Every year it seems to happen.
That's John.
Tactically, they're inept.
There needs to be he needs to be patrolling that if your wing back's further forward. And if he has to come across cover and even just take the guy out just to get his back into a shape, it needs to be something like that. You know what I mean? Just to, if you're caught on a counter, you need somebody to come out and just kind of block the guy off or take the guy out to take a booking and then get everybody back into shape and go for there. I don't see that happening with Celtic. You need to be cute and things like that in Europe. You need to be cover and what how you get about. But I think we were too gung-ho under Lennon. I don't think he knew a balance to defend, attack. Like, you see it back to the Copenhagen, we collapsed at home, and you're going, right, just hang off into extra time because we'll get them an extra time. They'll be there for the taking. But we had that much adrenaline, he kept us going. bang, sucker punch, bang, sucker punch. Two goals in fucking 5 minutes and you're hitting, what the fuck? Cluj was the same. It's the same things. You need to, after you score a goal, you're the most vulnerable in the park. I can see that goal. And I think that happened to us too many times in Europe through Lennon's reign. He didn't have that structure. Sit in for 10 minutes, soak up a wee bit of pressure, and then go to them again. See that I'm just going right for the jugular, and then they just go two or three passes up the park, quick winger, into a striker, boom, goal. Happened too many times. I think that's where we need a manager that's very clever on that side there in Europe.
Aye, when it comes to Europe, for me, it's the Lennon. You can maybe take away that, that some bits of the Lazio and all that and stuff, fair enough, right? But
the Copenhagen,
aye, we did. But the Sparta Prague for me, though, but and John was ridiculous. I came in watching it, and I was the first 10, 15 minutes, I was like, we could win this game 4 or 5-0. We started the game really well, and then I think, as Robert mentioned, John, that fitness for this season has been nowhere near the standards it's been, and you could see as the game was going on, we were getting tired. And let's be fair, Sparta Prague were riddled with COVID then. They had about 7 or 8 players making their debuts or were hardly played all season. And for me, John, that was, as Robert says, it showed us it was massive warning signs, especially in defence.
I think Sparta had 3 teenagers in the starting lineup. They had a 17-year-old, didn't they, playing at the back?
Right back or left back?
Aye. Boy acquitted himself really well. He might not have been up against much right enough, but teams like Sparta reserve team or whatever, you should be good enough to get something for their games. Definitely. I think they've proven that they're actually not a bad team. They may be running about the same level as Celtic, probably. But is it Leicester they're playing? Is that the other?
That's other Slavia Prague. Yes,
Slavia. Another Prague team. Mm-hmm. Are they still in Europe? Are they out?
I don't know.
Are they? I see they're probably pretty much level the quality of Celtic. But they proved they had a depth of squad that easily coped with Celtic over the 2 games. The first leg was a shambles to be. They could have turned it up. They were struggling for a team, weren't they? They had to bring in all sorts of youth players and whatever to make a bench. And they absolutely fucking done a number on us, didn't they?
Second game, they done the exact same, John. They just sat in and they come at them and bang, caught us on the ground.
Never learned their lessons.
The boy, what is his name? Carlson. Boy Carlson, winger, destroyed us. 2 games in a row, destroyed us. I actually like to look at that boy, but I don't know if it was 2 good games he had, but he looked like an old-fashioned winger, quick, run at people, pace, drift inside, get a shot off. He was good, really good. But I don't know, again, if it was just because we were so poor, he looked really good, I don't know.
He's obviously
what, a young Ryan Clifford?
Back in the day, I was brilliant. Don't let me kid you on. But I obviously, after that game again, there was more kind of warning signs with the board and the communication for the fans. The fans were saying, get him out. The board were saying, no, he's a man and we're sticking by him, blah, blah, blah. Again, that was maybe the start of Robert, the communication for the board slipping away for the connection for the fans.
They just, I don't know, Ryan, they didn't listen to the warning signs. Everybody could see that things were only working. We own the park, the players, the everything. There was just, you could just see we whimpered out of Europe, all right. And he kept going with the same players again, which tells me he didn't have a clue what he was doing. He just kept going with guys like Brown and Christie and maybe McGregor, who's probably only had 1 minute's rest this full season, which is baffling because the guy's standard has dropped and it's probably tiredness and everything else and we're being bad. So he's maybe getting dragged down to that level, but he really needed a rest in this full time, and he's never rested him, which was baffling for me as well. That was a warning sign. We whimpered out of Europe with 1-1, luckily, at the last game against Leo. I don't think we were really too boiled at that point, to be honest. And that's when your sorrow and tumble came in and gave us a wee bit of hope and light at the end of the tunnel. But again, it's just, it was, As me and your dad says, I never felt confident of going on an unbeaten run of 9 or 10 games. I never did. I always thought there's something going to tip us up along the way, and it sure did along the full way. I was never confident of watching Celtic and saying, we're back. There was never once I could say, I looked at Celtic and went, that's the old Celtic of old. Attacking, flair, everybody wanting the ball, everybody enjoying it, everybody. But to win the game, I don't think we've played as a full team the full season, and I don't know if that's with players wanting away, with COVID, with mismanagement. I don't know. I didn't think John Kennedy and Neil Lennon were a great match as assistant manager, and Gavin Strachan I don't think is great either. I just don't feel there's a united front, all fronts, the players and the management and the board, and I think that's all come back to bite us in the arse. Just because the cracks are appearing all season.
See, we were talking about things only going to come to an end. This bad run is going to continue. Yeah, these people on the radio saying, I never thought Ross County would beat Celtic. I never thought they'd beat Celtic. I never thought that. Are you having a laugh? Have you not been watching them all season? We've spoke about it. We've seen it happening all season. My mate bet Ross County the weekend there. He got 11-1. Because it's no daft.
To be fair, Ross County didn't really cause us any trouble bar the goal, right? But 43% of Celtic's goals conceded this season is for crossbars. Ross County's only got a worse record than us for crossbars into the box. We take two corners and we play them short. What the... To me, that's just fucking baffling. That's absolute stupid. We play one man up front away to Ross County. We play three attacking midfielders out of position. That tells me the guy doesn't know what he's doing. We've no winners on the park. We've no had winners for fucking all season. Where do you get your joy against teams that are compact down the wings? I'm no fucking Jose Mourinho, but it's fucking no rocket science to say that that's where you get your joy against compact defences is down the wings. That lost me at the end, man. This is all season, but as you say, John, it's not just one or two. This is four or five different occasions in Scotland alone.
And then obviously again, the game against Hearts, I know it was a wee bit of positivity, won in treble, but I know you spoke about it as well, Robert. The first half, I know it was against Hearts, but first half we were really good. I thought we were kind of like, right, this is a bit like the old Celtic. I know it's against Hearts, but the passing was quicker. It wasn't passive. It was a bit more intensity, and they were going, it should be 4 or 5-0 at half-time. And then the second half, we came out and just totally capitulated. And that's what it's been kind of most of the season. It either takes us a goal to get us kick-started, or as soon as somebody scores against us, our arse just collapsed, John.
Aye.
Fine.
It's...
On
you go, Robert.
On you go, John. It's against Hearts, I would say for 35 minutes, they were good, but they thought the game was won, they thought the game was out of sight. And what I've noticed with Celtic is when teams come back strong against us, we don't seem to have the mentality to get through that wee barren spell. It's a pressure. We seem to kind of buckle under in the back. And like, quite luckily, penalties. I think if the game maybe went another 10 minutes, Hearts might have beat us, to be honest, for the third. And that's a championship team. And that, to me, the mentality of the team this season is just no a Celtic team. It's no, we buckle under pressure. We can't deal with pressure. We're no fit enough. After 50, 60 minutes, we look like a tired team as if we've fucking played fucking 7 games in a row at 120 minutes. We're no fit team, definitely no fitness. The fitness is an absolute shambles. We always concede for close balls. I don't find it very hard to go and somebody attack a ball and he'd rip. It's no rocket science. Zonal Martin, I've never liked it.
No.
That's what Scott Brown. Some people are Zonal Martin and some people are any setup at all, no management at all. It's just going time when he does a, I don't know if it's John Kennedy setting him up in a line, mark a guy and go and fucking run the heater. It's as simple as that. And then if that guy gets after you, you can pinpoint and go, by the way, that was you, Ayer. By the way, that was you, Welsh. That's how you do it. You don't line guys up in the line and get... If you're 6 foot and there's a guy 5 foot nine, and he gets a running jump on you, for a running position to a standing position, 9 times out of 10 he's going to beat you to the ball. Is that no correct?
Mm-hmm.
It just... I've known this season, the cracks have just been appearing all season, and I've said it, and I don't know what it sounds very negative, but for away in the Europa League, I thought this season is fucked, and I don't know what it came out and sound negative, because you know, cunts like to jump on your back, but I didn't see us being a team that looked like we wanted to go and win the 10 in a row through neglect, through bad management, through attitude of players. I don't know.
Aye, it's just hard to, the heart scream for me was very, at the end of the game, it was total relief that we won, because I was like, the last 10, 15 minutes, we were watching it and I was like, we're going to be here, I can't believe this. And again, John, that was a championship team showing how frail we were at the back. Again, it was Hazard was in goals, goalkeeper swatting all season. I thought the boy's not done too much wrong, but maybe could have done better for the goal. But the game against Hearts was another warning sign that, yeah, listen, I thought maybe when they won that treble and then they'd be away. And I thought that was maybe, if it was a right time to go in a wee kind of a high note, lift the trophy, right, I've done my best, give somebody else to try and win the league, on you go. For me, John, I think that was maybe
what
should have happened.
Cup finals is all about winning them. It doesn't matter how you play in a cup final. Nobody will remember how you play in a cup final. As long as you go up and win that trophy, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter. Yes, you can dissect it and say, we were fucking rotten. A championship team taking us to 120 minutes and penalties. We were hanging on at the end. It doesn't matter. As long as you win the cup, that's the most important thing. And that's what Celtic need today. They need to get back to winning. I don't really care. It's nice playing attractive football with two wingers bombing forward and a bit of flair. I think now we just need to win. Win at all costs to get our fucking feet on the ladder again and try and progress.
I agree. We need to get the winning feeling back. I know we won four or five in a row there, but the way that he was talking was like we were world beaters again. And again, the talk with Zona Martin all season, John, even back in your day when you played, Zona Martin,
You didn't really hear it.
I've never liked it when I played. And I watched football, I'm just like, as Robert says, the manager should know. He's picking him at a corner, none of this iPad shite. You go, you pick him up, you decide that on a Friday training, you lead up to the full week, and then you deal with it. And then, as Robert says, John, you know if a goal goes in, it's his number, it's his man, and then you deal with it for there.
I think we strained on that at Celtic, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the first one today, Zonal, Celtic. Martin O'Neill just went, just go and win the fucking leader. Because I said he'd got 8 guys at 6'2" in his team. Monsters in both boxes, winning games, defending well. I like to see that, a bit of physicality. I think we're so weak, Robert. We're weak all over the place.
I don't think you really get men in football now, John, the way you used to. You know what I mean? There's a famous quote that Neil Lennon said, and there's no, I'll agree with Neil Lennon at this particular moment, but he said, he used to deal with 20-year-old men, now he deals with 30-year-old boys.
And it's
the generation now is there's no physicality of the Martin O'Neill either. There's no very few and far between that you get players like that now. A lot of fancy dads and fucking their hair gelled and that before they go in the park. You don't see players going after broken noses and heat bands on now. And I think that's lacking football. But you need one or two guys like that in your team, definitely get that.
I would think Anil's team was probably the last time we had a physical team.
Aye.
So I think he had a few physical players, but Anil's team was dominated by big lumps, shall we say, that they could play.
Aye, they could play football when they needed to.
You're talking about obviously the physicality, Robert and John. Maybe with starting, you had Hartley, you had Robson. Brown was obviously a bit, he's coming on his peak then. So they've three guys in the middle. Hartley and Robson for me were superb. They were physical. In the Rangers games, they gave somebody it hard. I think that's what we're missing as well, John. And not just against Rangers, in any games, obviously Scott Gordon's getting older now, so he can't do what he used to do, right? But you're missing a guy to give. You know why to break legs. You know why to get guys injured. To let guys know they're there. The first 5 minutes of a game, let them know you're there. Because even when I played football, sometimes I play against big guys. And if I get a dig gaff, I'm like, well, I'm not going to hear him the rest of the game. That's just what happens in football.
Aye, definitely. I think that the Royal Firm games have a big bearing on the season. In the last couple of seasons, definitely Rangers have won the physical battle against Celtic. Definitely. The likes of Arfield, I don't want to talk about them, but I need to. The likes of Arfield running about, it means so much to him to fucking win the games. He'll do anything to win the game. He'll kick his granny. Very physical. You need to get back to winning the fucking physical battle in Old Firm games. Definitely.
Because for me, I don't know if Robert thinks it, but I definitely agree because I think footballers are technically players now. It's all about fitness and technical ability, and you don't really see a lot of, even with Man City and Barcelona, their defenders aren't really physical, and it's all ball playing centre-halves, and I think we maybe need to get back to maybe, obviously the old days are different, you try and we'll go back to the old days, but we need maybe at least one physical big centre-back at the back to deal with cross balls, and maybe the other guy next to him does the football work, Robert.
I agree with you, Ryan, definitely. We thought we had that in Shane Duffy, but there's obviously other defenders out there that we can tap into. I don't know the answer to it right now, but I'm not getting paid $2.4 million a year to be that person. So you definitely need a spine of your team, I would say. Your goalkeeper, a centre-half, a centre-midfielder and a striker. The spine of your team's right. You can play around about it, you can build around about it. But if that structure of your team is brilliant, is good, then you tend to have a right good team. That's normally how football works. And you need, obviously, leaders. I think we're lacking a lot of leaders on the park. We've got a lot of decent players, but I think, as your dad was saying, having a physical player and leaders, is guys that speak, guys that talk through a game, I think that lacks in football now. And I think you need to look at that. Probably kind of a British players. Maybe we need a couple of British players in that knows Celtic. Again, rather than maybe try to go for some of these European players, I don't know. We just need to see what sort of market our new manager's looking at. Or maybe the Scandinavian market, because that's been quite good these early years. We really need to look into these markets and try and pick the decent players and players that are ready to come in and improve us or Ellie Park. I definitely think you could probably get a decent centre-half with a championship in England or Scandinavian league or a decent winger through one of these leagues, whatever we need to do. So there's going to be a big rebuild, obviously. And we just need to have the right manager. I don't think, as a team, we really need 5, 6, 7 signings. I think we maybe need 2 or 3 quality signings to improve us.
Aye, to go right in.
Yep, John, right in, aye.
None of that squad player site, just right in.
The squad needs to be cut, John, about 7, 8 players. 2 or 3 quality players and maybe 4 squad players that are upcoming young boys, maybe along the lines.
See, regarding Scandinavian players, whatever you're trying to dip into a wee market that's on tap, That's what Harmon's there for, isn't it? That's his job.
That's what he was there for. I don't see him lasting at the end of the season either. No.
But he's responsible for that.
Oh, he's been a disaster as well.
And obviously as well, boys, the January, obviously Dubai, the Rangers game. Don't really, we could talk about Rangers game, but we all know that the Rangers game, we should have won the game, obviously, Beaton sent off. But then obviously the main point of that month was the Dubai, Robert, we spoke about it. That was one of the biggest things. Again, that just shows the standards of us as away.
Why we went to Dubai, Ryan, was just absolute stupid in the middle of a pandemic. Get why they went, but we've no benefited out of it. We had 3 games on Rangers, didn't we? They were 19 points clear at the time.
Roughly, aye.
Aye, so in 3 games we've picked up 1 point, basically. We've only clawed back 1 point out of the 3 games in hand we had. So Dubai didn't work. We spent $400,000 on it. We followed their under-18s team. We more or less made an arse of that, didn't we? And then we go and sell for ring pong to try and balance the books a wee bit. Obviously, because the pre-tax loss, which we didn't know about just recently, was $6 million. So I think that was to kind of balance the books on that. And it was a great offer. And then we bring in John Joe Kenny in a 6-month deal. We need permanent, like, no signing to make him permanent. Another strange decision, if you ask me, for Celtic. But this season, I don't think Celtic's done it to surprise me. I think week to week they've just exploded, and I feel a numbness about them this season. For January, I've no celebrated a goal. I've watched them. No celebrated a goal and no got upset about a goal conceded. I don't know what's happened, but I've seen the good, the bad and the ugly of Celtic through all my years of supporting them. And I just hope that we don't regress again the way we've done earlier years. I think this should be another Brendan Rodgers appointment type of thing. Take Rangers' view this time and get an appointed manager, get it in there. Because if we go and do the things right this season, it could propel us onto another 4 or 5 in a row. It could. If we get things wrong, we're 3 years behind. That's a dangerous thing. This next appointment.
Aye, definitely. It's got to be right. Obviously, we're talking about Nicky Harmon there, Robert, as well. The recruitment didn't help at all in January. Obviously, John, we're talking about Dubai. We've all spoke about it, how it was another really poor time for the board. We understand why they went, but it wasn't a good timing. The standards, again, showed that we're slipping. There was no need to go. And then, obviously, the recruitment, John. January with Danny Strengthen. Robert obviously was talking about Frimpong was sold. Brought in Kenny, a loan deal. If we really wanted him, why just not sign him permanently? Just get it done for next season. We still got Ben Davis. Had him for 30 days. I've been looking at him for a long time. Didn't get in the window. Liverpool come in at the last minute, 2 or 3 days, and I've signed him. Again, too slow. Danny Strengthen in January. In my opinion, John, if the board had any hope of trying to win the league back, because I've done something in January.
The thing is, we started the season without losing a first-team player, didn't we? We kept the squad that had been there and done it. We thought we'd added quality to that existing squad to propel us to the 10, and it didn't happen. It's no happening. I think the big thing is she'd be keeping the squad for last year. You think your quad's in, they've been there, they've done it, they've wore a t-shirt, add 2 or 3 quality players and we should fucking skate it. No, it's been poor, very poor. But hopefully sun shines out and we'll fucking be back next season.
And then obviously, recently, St Mirren and Ross County performances. I know Ross County in the Cup. Then St Mirren the last few weeks in Lost County the other night. Just, again, very poor. And as you say, John, the radios and the pundits are saying, oh, it's a shock. And me know, Robert, that it's not really been a shock because we've been poor all season. But they were performances, again, it just shows you that why was he still allowed to continue. And obviously, Robert, we all know you don't listen to his press conferences anymore because they were just a lot of guff all the time, saying the same stuff every week. And that's when you knew he was kind of losing everything because he was saying the same stuff and he was like, I can't change it, so why are you still there?
I was bitterly disappointed. Is that one of them? That was every week. And I actually watched his one against Ross County and he goes, ha, and he laughs. He actually laughs. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Honestly, what is it you're doing? And he goes, I don't know how they lost it. Do you know how they lost the game? Because we tried to play through a compact defence. We didn't get in the wings. It's the same fucking scenario. Week in, week out. The same things. To play against Celtic, if you can nullify the middle of the park, that's where everything comes from. The middle of the park. If you can nullify that and stop them picking and try and force them wide, you'll get joy against them. And that's what these smaller teams have done. Your St. Mirren's, your Ross Counties and that. And we never had a plan B the full time. We had three attack midfielders on the park most weeks, all out of position. He's mucked about with the strikers, mucked about with the goalkeeper, mucked about with the backline, mucked about with the midfield. I don't think we had the same team on the park two or three games in a row, the same 11. I don't even think he played the same formation three, four games in a row. It was just baffling. The guy was running out of ideas the full season. And I think the board more or less hung him up to dry. He wasn't very good, but the board didn't want to take responsibility. You could see he tried everything in his power to ignite us, try and get us better. It wasn't working. So I think the board are throwing him under the bus a lot, especially with keeping the two on who's still there than now, and more or less putting all the responsibility onto him. I think it's a bit shocking how the board treated him in the end, to be honest.
I quite admire him. There's two sides to it. People think he only hung on for the money. I don't think it's about money. I genuinely think he thought he could turn it about early doors up to maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. He probably thought if we win over games, there's a very good chance we still get success. And I admire the fact that he still thought he'd the power to do that. But us watching the games on the telly knew different, didn't we?
Why did the board let it go so long, but John?
Maybe they believed in him as well. Maybe they believed.
Or maybe they just didn't want to pay the money to get him paid. Listen,
no matter how much money, see if you wanted to get rid of him, no matter how much money he was earning, no matter what bonuses he was going to get, just do it. Because if you want to go forward, you had to get rid of him. Just pay it. Because in the long term, if you succeed, we get a new manager and you go into the Champions League, you recoup that money tenfold.
But our board like to gamble
with
all these things.
Aye. Last minute.
Yep.
For me, it's just.
Do this if we do that.
For me, I agree with you, Robert. The board have got to take it out of his hands. I do agree with you, John. My opinion of Leo Lennon is I don't hate the guy. Obviously, you're numb because you've not done as well. You should have left at an earlier time. Obviously, seeing that maybe in a few months' time, in a few years' time, eventually we'll go right. Aye, if as a legend's a player. He done okay the first time. He did the all right the second time until this season, and it's totally failed. It's not going to totally ruin his legacy, but it is going to really dampen it. I think a lot of fans might have a lot of hatred towards him. But for me, I'm glad it's done now, and it wasn't at the end of the season because it, as you've said, it could have got a lot worse, and it already is poor. But I do agree with you, Robert, that the board should have dealt with it quicker. Named this. And then Dermot Desmond came out today, Robert, and says that he'll be hard man to replace. Wait a minute, Desmond. Dermot, you've got miles of better managers out there, Neil Lennon. Fuck, money boy. The manager was managing Hibs. Come on, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ryan, obviously I'm down south
and
I'm working, so I've not really seen
aye,
that.
He says that he'll be a hard man to replace, he's a legend, he does everything for the club, he's blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute, you've got Eddie Howe, who's lying there, Mooney job. You've got other guys better than Neil Lennon to come in and take care and get a far better job than Neil Lennon. But that's, I'm not taking anything away what Neil Lennon's done as a player and what he's done in the past. He's won silverware, he's won basically two trebles, just about. So you can't knock the guy for what he's done, but this season you've got to take it for the naked eye, and it's failed miserably, and he shouldn't have been in charge at this point.
What Dermot Desmond really is saying there, in my opinion, is I only have somebody I can control as a puppet. And I think aye, that's what he's thinking, and maybe because he's Irish as well, he feels a sentiment to him. But Dermot Desmond in this full scenario for me has been an absolute shambles. He's been hidden, he's nowhere to be seen.
And silence is deafening.
Aye, exactly, John. How and Peter Lawwell were happy to come out when it was all rosy and have their interviews with the papers and speak highly, oh, Brendan Rodgers, listen, I went out and got him and I've done this. It's all right when you're winning and screaming for the rooftops, but when you're getting beat and things are going sour, he should be like that first guy that comes out and changes it and gets the ball rolling again. For me, I don't like him. Maybe he does stuff for the club and it's great, but I'd rather have somebody who's a Celtic supporter. I'm not saying he's not a Celtic supporter, but he's more interested in being on a golf course and he has got to run Celtic and dealing with Celtic. In my opinion, there's better guys out there that I would rather have running the club and that would be more engaged with the fans. I mean, I sent Ryan with the Celtic Association meetings with Peter Lawwell have been. I've sent him the drafts and what's been said and stuff like that, and how they've treated the fans in this full scenario is nothing but disastrous and shambolic and disgraceful. I know in Ronnie Dyler's era, when they wanted the fans back on board, Peter Lawwell engaged with the fans on a week-to-week basis of how things should change. And then when Brendan Rodgers came in and all the success was happening, he never shunted them again because he was only interested in making money. To me, that needs to change at Celtic. At the end of the day, these guys are just in charge of your club and running your club. Us, the fans, will be there longer than anyone and will ever be there. It's our club. They forget that.
But that's right. It's our club.
We'll be there longer than any of them. It's our club. They might be the man with the money and the ones in power than you, but they'll not always be in power. So they've got to remember...
It's the custodians.
And I feel that's on that side. We should have more fans on the board, maybe no influence, just to give opinions on things. I think that disconnect needs to change at Celtic.
Aye, well, the head of the Supporters Association should be a liaison with the board at meetings whenever, twice a year, whatever it'll be. Definitely, that's definitely something that should happen in the future, shouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%, John.
Obviously, John, the board, what's your opinions, obviously, regarding the board? Obviously, Kennedy and Stratton and I think supposedly Steve McManus is maybe can up to help him. Obviously, I thought him with Scott Brown, but obviously because he's still playing, I don't know if he can get up to the coaching level. What do you think of the board's obviously what they've done this season regarding Neil Lennon and obviously the decision now to put Kennedy in charge? What's your kind of overall feelings with the board?
Well, they've done the right thing and Neil Lennon will be there, but the way the rest of this season, I think you're writing the season off anyway by having them in charge. If you've no got the man you want, then he's opted for that, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
For the boys that's in place at the moment working within Celtic, 23s, reserves, whatever, youths, the boys that's in the structure. But the man they obviously want isn't he there in the building. So I'm actually not that bothered what happens to the end of the season, to be honest with you. Because for me, it's all about next season. But I want them to start the rebuild anew. And I'm disappointed they've no got who they want to start the rebuild. the guys that said they knew, I'm not going to fault them to the end of the season. How many games have they got?
Eight. And maybe the Scottish Cup if it continues.
I don't hang out with them. But say you've got eight games, whoever's in charge for eight games, you can't criticise them. Win, lose, or draw their games. They're only taking temporary charge. But hopefully the future's bright.
Because obviously, Robert, as well, we're talking about the future. Again, I seen a wee quote there. I can't mean who it was from, Robert. I think it was for an ex-journalist or something. And he says, obviously, now that Lennon's away, if the players all of a sudden start playing well, then you're thinking, right, because they've no place to hide now. So if they're full-flown attacking football and they start winning games 2-3-0 and they start playing well, you're going to go, wait a minute here. What was the issue? Was it the manager? Or were they just packing in the tools?
I think it will be a lot today with the manager and the players, Ryan. I think you've got to put it on the blame on everybody. You can't just blame one person. One thing I don't, and when we play Rangers in a couple of weeks, don't get beat. Don't get beat off them. Simple as that. Mm. Don't get beat. They're no any great shakes. Let's see if he's got... He's gave us nothing all season. Give us one bit of fight. Put something in. You're at home. You're at Celtic Park. Go out and fucking prove to this mob they're not as good as they think they are. Because they're not. I don't think they're as good as they actually think they are. And they've had an easy season. And I think the players owe it to the fans to go out and put a performance on in that. Other than that, if we win the games to the end of the season, I think they've got to announce something in the next 3 or 4 weeks, in my opinion. About a manager, about what's the club's gone in a direction, because we can't wait, because the season books are up soon. I mean, how the fuck can you sell your season books to your supporters with no structure, with no idea of what's going on? But to me, that needs to change. That needs to happen soon, because I know the season books are going to come back out, and it's going to be, I don't even know who they'll be headlining it. It's normally Neil Lennon or Brendan Rodgers. They like to thank fans. They'll say Peter Lawwell there now. Is it going to be the kit man or something? We like to thank you for the kit, man. You know what I mean? I don't, Scott Brown, maybe. I don't know. But we really need somebody identified and who to be looking at us and putting a structure in place and saying, see, it's a manager that maybe can't come in and say, June, I want him to have identified 4 players. Tell Dominic McKay goes bang, bang, bang. People are wondering what's happening here. Like the boy William Shaw, I don't even know who signed him to Sheffield Wednesday when nobody knows. That needs to be in place and who. To hit the ground running in the summer, because the qualifiers are in the corner, let's be honest.
I obviously, John, I agree with Robert says here. The qualifiers come up, we've got to get stuff done, done as soon as we can. If it is, for me, this has been maybe kept quiet. I think maybe the fans expected Lennon to go to the end of the season. They didn't expect it to happen the day really, or yesterday. It's been kept quiet. His interviews, he was talking about the rebuild, and the fans are getting a bit here. Wait a minute here, is he staying? Obviously, inside you're thinking there's no chance of staying, but these interviews, John, that you're thinking that he's going to stay here. So, what's going to happen with the rebuild? I think now the guy Mackay's got to be in dialogue with everybody at the club to say, right, who do I want? Obviously, John, you were telling me that it's a different company that deal with the DOFs and try to pick the interviewees for the job?
It's supposed to be as a company, actually. Looking at recruiting or looking at interviewees for the position. So, Celtic's been doing a different route with the looks, isn't they? Mm-hmm. Well, that option's there, shall we say. But we've been talking about that all season. I've talked about Leipzig, Robert's talked about Ajax, similar teams. We've been screaming for the route talks for Celtic to do a different avenue, because the model at the moment isn't working long term, as in European football. That guy's got to come in and start work tomorrow. He can't even come in. There's no way he can just leave it to fucking end of June. It's too late to sign players again, but we normally do. We speak about this all the time, doing my business late, That's got to change. The mindset's got to change. You can't just run it like for year to year. You've got to prepare for everything in advance. You've got to get players on, no saying long-term contracts, but you've got to tie your good players down so as if you do sell them, you'll get decent money for them. What's happening with Scott Brown? Scott Brown's contract's up 13 years at Celtic, I think. Mm-hmm. Yep. There has no been any word about him, I don't know.
No.
Nothing.
I mean, you don't even know who the manager's going to be, if he wants him as a coach, if he wants him as a player, if he wants to put him into the under-21 management side, you don't know that. That's...
I agree with two of you that the guy's got to come in and work, but it's got to be the now, because we can't be even more complacent now. And just as you say, John, leave it to June. We'll be all right. We'll get this guy. We'll come in and we'll sort it, because we don't know who they've got in the pipeline for the manager. It could be, we'll speak about the manager in a minute, but it could be either Steve Clarke. It could be somebody who's at the Euros that we don't know about. We can't wait till after Euros and go, right, he's come in now. You've got maybe a month and a half to sign players, get your structure in, get your backroom staff. You can't do a lot within 6 weeks, John, to implement your message and get your players across. It's very hard to date within a few weeks.
Nah, Celtic always leave it a couple of weeks, then they, to the cut-off point. By that time, you don't get your number one target, your number two, three, four, five and six, the way Celtic carry on. Get your dealings done early. That guy's got to come in. The process has started. Get your director of football, whoever it is, or technical director, whatever you want to call it, get your manager. And they're actually, like, it's two jobs, isn't it? But they're communicating all the time, the football issues, player issues. You don't want a manager dealing with contracts. This guy's going to deal with contracts. Just leave the manager to the football side to thrive, to improve the football team, the squad, the development team, the youths. As we spoke about it, it's got to be for the top to the bottom, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to clean it out and get them all playing the same way, same structure, whatever.
It's got to be a pathway to the first team, that's got to be.
Big time. We've spoke about that. There's no enough youths coming into the first team, isn't there, no?
Nah, and we're losing all our good youth players now, so that tells you everything.
For nothing, for development fees.
Yep.
Aye, that's got to change, definitely. A lot of guys are leaving for youths. Why are they leaving for youths? Is it the learning? Is it the structure? Is it because they're getting, obviously, maybe a better chance of getting into a first team somewhere else? But for me, it's just, we all know there's a lot of issues. It's players, the board, whatever else. But the buck in any walk of life, you know, Robert, if it is in your work, my work, John, your work in football, the manager always gets the buck, no matter what. He's the leader of the club. He's the manager of the football team. So it doesn't matter if the players are playing shite, the manager's always going to get the bucket. We all know the players have underperformed. But the fact that basically every player, maybe apart from, I know Edouard's not the best of seasons, but he's got a lot of goals still. I thought Big Chris Iyer, if we can get a good manager in, listen, I know we keep saying that they might be sold. See, if you do get a top coach like a Martinez or an Eddie Howe, I don't know, I'm just talking names, they could persuade them to stay. Yeah, listen, stay another year, I'll get you a bigger move. We don't know what could happen if we get a top manager in, as much as we think they might go. If top manager could come in, Robert, and maybe change their minds.
Of course, Ryan, it's every possibility. You know what I mean? It's like maybe a different manager comes in and sets out a different stall and says, look, stay with me season, sign a new contract, win the league, and I guarantee I'll improve you as a player. And if we win the league and we do all right in Europe, you could go for double that. You could pick your teams rather than maybe being restricted to two teams. You could have a choice of four or five teams. Mm-hmm. We don't know. That's all down to Dominic Mackay, the new manager, and what Celtic are wanting to spend to get us to the standard that we expect now, Celtic.
See, regarding Mackay coming in, possible director of football, definitely a new manager, the financial outlay is quite a bit. So why stop there? Spend money in the team to try to get us into the Champions League. What's the point of spending big when behind the scenes, if you're not, the most important thing is the team, isn't it? And the manager. Most important person at a football club is the manager. Spend the money in the manager and the team and we'll progress.
There's no point in spending fucking $2.5 million in disco lights and $2 million in a hybrid pitch and fucking £1 million in sale today if the fucking team on the person.
Correct.
That's what I say, John. Sorry to have it if your team on the park's good enough to attract the fans to come and watch you.
Yep.
And plus the park's been terrible all season, so that's been a waste of money. Obviously, Robert, we've spoken about obviously the last wee bit tonight, guys, about obviously who is just names about obviously the managers. And for me, whoever comes in, they've got to have independence and limitancy in the managing. They've got to pick the players, they've got to have the business side different for the football side. The manager picks the team and deals with recruitment and whoever's at the DOF and Desmond. And if it is Ross Lawwell or whoever it is, Ross Desmond comes in, they deal with that side, and it's a total different football side, business side. Obviously, Robert, there's names like Eddie Howe, Martinez, Sean Maloney, guys like that, Steve Clark, and another name popped up, the guy from Slavia Prague. He's done well with them. They're still in Europe. You mentioned Michael O'Neill. There's a lot of guys that have been mentioned, and obviously people are saying, or Celtic might not be able to get them. Why no? Go and pop the question. You need to ask somebody. If they say no, they say no. But if it is, I know, just as it is Mourinho, as Eddie Howe, Benitez, whoever it is, just ask the question. And if you say no, you move on to the next target.
Exactly. The reason I like Graham Potter and Mike O'Neill was I thought Mike O'Neill was very good with Northern Ireland. I thought he turned them into a hard team to beat. I thought they punched well above their weight. And I think he's doing a right good job at Stoke. He might be happy at Stoke, I don't know. Maybe he will know. Graham Potter done well in Norway, I think it was, some Scandinavian country. Took a wee team that would never really help them. Got them into Europe, beat Arsenal in the Europa League. He went to Brighton, he's played quite attractive football. I like the two guys, and I think they're younger. And I think they play the right way, the football the right way. And I think they're young enough and clever enough, and they'll get plan A's and B's. And I think they'd be attracted to Celtic. That was my two reasons why I picked the two guys.
And obviously with yourself, John, who would be your pipeline for your personal choice?
See, regarding Potter, 4 years ago he was a PE teacher.
Aye.
It's not just, it's talent everywhere, Robert. It's not just football players, it's managerial talent everywhere. You just need an opportunity.
Barry wasn't a manager, he was about 60.
Correct. Aye. Yeah.
He started half with Empoli, wasn't it? He gets chance at Empoli.
I've said that. It's talent everywhere at every level of football. I was talking about players, but it's talent managerial as well. You've got to cast your net. You can't just be restricted to like British managers, whatever. You've got to get the man best suited for the job with the money that you can spend on them.
Aye. They've surely got a budget.
Push your boat out, because long term it's going to benefit you.
I agree.
Aye, because I think we've got to get, it's probably the biggest summer in maybe my generation of being a Celtic fan. It's a massive rebuild. Listen, the guy could already be picked and we don't know, because we know recently Celtic have not really been a lot to the media. We don't know a lot, so the guy could be picked. But for me, it's going to be somebody, forget about him being a Celtic man or that shit, he's going to be somebody that's perfect for the job, fits the bill, fits the structure of the club, fits the DOF. Everybody who listens to this knows that I'm Eddie Howe. I want Eddie Howe to come in. I like the way he talks about football. I like the way he coaches. I've seen him on YouTube. I've watched coaching drills. He talks the manager that fits us, attacking football. If they score three, we score four. And again, obviously you've got to defend and you've got to clean sheets. But Celtic have always been pronounced, haven't they, John Robert, for attacking football. entertainment, scoring goals. We don't want to win games. Obviously, you want to win games, right? But 1-0 every week, you're like, this is boring. You want a bit of jag in the games. And for me, maybe guys like, I know Martinez is with Belgium. Well, are you Belgium? Probably no. They're a massive, massive team in the national stage. Eddie Howe, I don't know what he is. Obviously, he's probably Seattle, but I think Eddie Howe is, he's a free agent. He's assistant slash left Bournemouth. So you've really got the perfect backroom staff to just come in and just kick on the new. He's sitting free. He's a free agent.
I agree with you, Ryan. I would like to see him as a Celtic manager. Well, I will spend the money on that type of guy. I don't know what sort of wages he'd be wanting for. I don't know what sort of money he'd be wanting for to rebuild the team. I would happily take Eddie Howe. I think Eddie Howe and Benitez and Martinez are the top bracket. And the guys I was talking about are probably more in a realistic bracket.
Mm-hmm.
That, in my opinion, might be wrong here. You know what I mean? But that was my reason of picking the two guys, because I think they're realistic for us to get, whereas I think Eddie Howe, Benitez and Martinez is probably, I'm not saying realistic, but I don't know if we're bored or want to sanction an all Brendan Rodgers type of appointment.
Look at the success Celtic had financially when Rodgers came in. What a trophies he won. Seven, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
7 out of 7 till Neil came in. Financially, the outlay was nothing with the success that Celtic got through it. Two Champions League qualifications. They made their money off him.
Yeah.
You pick the right manager, gets you success, you'll make money.
It was the same, obviously, with O'Neill as well. After that season, Rangers were a lot ahead. O'Neill came in, full rebuild. They spent money in players. And then really ever since then, the last 20 years, Celtic have been a dominant force with winning titles. So it just proves, if, as Robert says, Robert, you could get, if it is Eddie Howe, if it is a top elite manager, you get them in the summer, it could lead to another 9-0, 8-0 if you start off the right path and get this right. Because that, obviously, it's not going to go two ways. It's either going to go fucking horrendous or it's going to go boom, right back at the top again. And that, for me, I think it's going to be a brilliant thing, because it's going to totally strip back the club, and it's going to, the flaws in the club are hopefully going to get ironed out with this new guy coming in. There's going to be some guys who shouldn't be at the club, and I think it might kick up, a big kick up the arse. I think Desmond, it might give him a kick up the arse. Shit, I don't want to be second. We need to, boom, another Rodgers thing, hopefully, and progress again.
You might have, if a new manager comes in, one or two players that you thought were on their way at the club.
Mm-hmm.
With players under a different manager, we don't know. But just as you say, it will be good to just see us getting restructured as a club and how quickly we can do it and how successful we can do it and the timescale that we've got. But it should have happened 6-7 weeks ago behind the scenes. It might well be that way, but let's no hope it's a fucking middle of June and then it's a rush job and it's get him in, all but we need to pay money for his assistant. Or we'll hang that back for 4 weeks, then we'll try and get him, and then, oh, the two targets we had, we've missed it, and then you're at a qualifier. That just, you've got to start right. If you start right, 9 times out of 10, it will start going smoothly. If you start shite, it then starts creating problems and cracks start appearing, and then you might turn and go, oh, fuck, we've not learned anything last season. And that's the thing. You've got to learn from your mistakes, and that's what I'm hoping it happens this season.
And obviously, John, your last thoughts and obviously new winning second spell and future.
I think you need to get the fans back on side. I think that's a major thing. To get the fans back on side, you need to make the right decisions regarding the future structure of the club. And the, as you know, the most important person at a club is a manager. Get the manager right, I think everything else will fall in place and be back next year.
And obviously yourself, Robert.
Aye, your dad's right. The fans, if you get the fans on board with the right appointment, everything could go for there. That's, they've got to, I feel the Ori fans have a big appointment. That's my opinion. The Ori fans are, for what's happened.
Aye, big time, mate. I think the fans have, especially during the current times, have spunked a lot of money into obviously watching as we've spoken about Diddy streams, it looks like. But some people have probably fucked out for the Lisbon Lions chocolate, which is ridiculous. Again, oh, we're not doing very well. Here's chocolate. Record sales are training gear. People are fucking out money. So the fans owe, sorry, the board owe the fans a big appointment, in my opinion. A good summer and a good last 8 games to give some optimism going into the summer. But obviously, guys, it's been obviously a good kind of podcast to strip through everything, get your thoughts and obviously the future. John, appreciate you coming on. Robert, brilliant again, mate, and I'll see you again after Aberdeen game on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Eddie Howe.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.